2, Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650. We're exploring new parts of this rejoinder music that we've never heard before. Very exciting, but we are back on the air here. Jamie Dodd, my co-host, Thomas Drance.
I'm Thomas Drance.
Also covering the team for The Athletic. As a Canucks insider, he joins me now. Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. We are live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. What's up, Drance?
Not much, buddy. Lots going on today.
I had to say what's up to you because you missed my what's up off the top of the
right.
show.
Well, thank you.
Unacceptable.
I appreciate it. Unacceptable.
You need a what's up in your day.
That's true. I do need a what's up in my day. What's up? I'm glad to start my day now that I've heard it.
All right, here we go. Noon. Time to get going. All right. Should we just get right into the whiteboard
right into
here?
The whiteboard.
All right, let's do it. Let's get into the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
Your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, May 7th. Start with the headlines, and the headlines really are, we're still waiting for this series to start. It doesn't even start tonight. It starts tomorrow, the Canucks and the Oilers. So we've got ample time to really dig into every potential angle. Do we want to? Is Elias Pettersson missing practice? Is that headline worthy?
Or is it lineup worthy?
Is it lineup worthy?
I think it's lineup worthy.
All right. We'll keep it for the lineup.
Missing practice is not a huge deal.
Especially in the way that it happened, where it's like Nils Åman goes in as a placeholder and there's no, you know what I mean? Like, if he was really in doubt for tomorrow, you're not plugging Nils Åman to the top line.
Well, I'm
in all likelihood.
Preview of Dastardly Dan Riccio's take on Canucks Central in a couple hours is, how big a downgrade is Nils Åman?
He already said that on our show.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh my God.
He's like, what are they really missing?
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's a heel turn for positive Dan.
I was like, Dan's the guy who I'm going to impute this absurd take to just out of a sense of false rivalry, but he actually already said
Well, he didn't say specifically Nils Åman, but he was like, well, how much are they really missing even with Pettersson out of the lineup at this point?
Oh, my God.
It was a little tongue-in-cheek, but...
All right, so we'll save it for the lineup. I'm not worried about a missing a practice, although, you know, he didn't speak to the media after practice yesterday either. So that does sort of suggest that it's like more than, yes, he was at practice, but he was asked for and didn't talk to the media, which I'm not criticizing. I'm saying, especially if you're feeling unwell, right? If you're like, oh, buddy, like, we get it, you know? So I more than anything, it's just like there's been some signs perhaps of this for 36 hours as opposed to just, you know, the last two. And, you know, hopefully he's fine and can have a Clyde Drexler type flu game. In game one, because the Canucks are going to need
Michael Jordan, surely. MJ,
oh,
the
right.
Most famous flu game.
Is it?
Yes. What?
The original,
what are you talking about?
The original flu game was Clyde Drexler.
Okay, but like when people say the flu game,
Drex,
they mean
the
Michael
game
Jordan.
Michael Jordan, game 5, 1997 NBA Finals.
There you go. There you go.
He had 38 points.
The story in The Last Dance, right? Where you thought like the food poisoning from the pizza, wasn't that it?
Yep.
But it was actually maybe something else.
Suspicious. Five guys dropped it off.
Look, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of you Philistines for not having a full scope of NBA historical knowledge, but the original flu game is Clyde Drexler.
Okay, yes. And of course, when you say flu game, everyone immediately thinks of Clyde the Glide and not Michael Jordan.
That's what I think of because it's the original.
Oh, my gosh. That is just a purely unhinged take.
Clyde Drexler
could only come from Drance.
Clyde Drexler, also famously, by the way, he had an impaled by a swordfish game.
What?
What? No, of course not.
What are you talking about? What's happening? What's going on with you right now? Are you okay?
I will pull it together.
You've been here for 5 minutes.
Impaled by a swordfish game.
All right. Anything you want to hit in headlines? The war of words continues between fan bases here?
Is it really between fan bases? Am I just not following the right people anymore?
So I only ever see it like secondhand because I curate my social media feeds. So I don't, you know what I mean? So I see people referencing and like taking screenshots or quote tweeting things, but I don't get like the firsthand people being wild and going at each other.
Yeah.
So I like, I'm not in a great position to comment.
So one thing that's sort of interesting is the, just a really quick, the Boston Pizza thing. So you see the Boston Pizza thing where there was a call for boycotts because of, where was it?
Penticton,
in Kelowna?
I believe.
Penticton. So what's interesting to me about that, and what I think a lot of Canucks fans wouldn't realize, is though Vancouver's regional broadcast network extends throughout the borders of the province, their like exclusive territorial rights from a marketing perspective does not extend to the Okanagan, which is one of the things that they work around with the Penticton Young Stars tournament, right? That like Penticton, Kelowna, that area around the Okanagan. I believe it's Flames territory.
I would think there's a heavy contingent for both Alberta teams. Oh, well, but you mean like assigned to the Flames.
I mean in terms of like from the perspective of a restaurant, you know what I mean? It's like, who do we support officially on a sign? You know, it makes sense to me that you'd go with like the default of wherever, whichever team owns the territorial rights, marketing rights in your region. So I think that's what happened. And I just don't think Canucks fans like understand that nuance. Who would?
Well, I also just think there's a lot of people from Alberta who live in the Okanagan.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That too.
So like, I think it's like there's the level you're talking about with the technical marketing side, but I think it's also just, like it's farther east than Vancouver, and there's people from Alberta love the Okanagan.
Right.
Love the Okanagan.
So do I. Who doesn't love the Okanagan?
It's great.
Are there like legions of Okanagan haters? Send them to me. I will impale them with a swordfish. other than that, what? I guess there's some... I saw that the Canucks were the most engaged with team in the first round, according to Zoomf. Had the highest engagement rate on tweets and other social media
this
accounts.
This is our greatest headline segment ever. Thank you, Zoomf.
Zoomf?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. All I'm saying is really impressive work by the five guys astroturfing it all.
Anyways, we need the games to start, I think, is the headline here. Yeah. We need some stuff to chew on.
Well,
on the rink.
So I'm of two minds. Because I actually
just want to live in this moment forever where it's all theoretical.
No, I think one fun moment or one fun thing about sports in general, and one thing that I think the NHL lacks, and the NBA, and any league that plays like 82 games, or that number of games, baseball lacks it too, obviously, is like, you get the hype, you know what I mean? You get like the full week of breaking it down, you have to work to drive the news cycle, you know, you have to work to think about like, what's the new angle today, yesterday it was like the underdog talking point, today is going to be like Henrik and Pettersson, what did the injuries mean? Or the potential absences mean.
Yep.
Demko news, right? So, which we'll get into in the broadsheet. So it's like there's all this sort of commingling of stakes. And then when we get to the game tomorrow, because we'll have another show previewing the game. Uh-huh.
But at least that one, it's like there's the game day hype. You know what I mean? It's like,
totally.
It's game day. And that's like just the energy of that goes so far.
What's up?
What's up?
Yeah, no, fair. I'm just saying it's not a bad thing. Like scarcity isn't bad. From the perspective of whetting our appetite, as frustrating as it might be at the moment, to just be like, what did that Canucks fan say to Ryan Whitney?
No, I understand what you're saying, right? Like, live in the moment a little bit, right? Because the reason there's so much anticipation is because I think this is going to be a really cool series. You know, like I was making the point before you joined the show that I'm just excited to see if the Canucks can rise to this challenge. I don't think there's any sense in denying that it is a massive challenge. I think, of course it is, but that makes it an exciting opportunity. I get what you're saying, right? Just enjoy that hype, enjoy that kind of big fight feel it gives it, right? Where you're getting swept up in the emotions, you're getting swept up in the build up to it, and we got one more day to do it. I think it's going to be an incredible scene at Rogers Arena when they drop the puck,
like,
all Canadian second round matchup featuring Connor McDavid going against the Canucks.
I think you're gonna have a fair number of Oilers fans too, and you get Connor McDavid, man. You know, you get the Canucks and you get literally the person to pay for to watch play hockey live.
Mm-hmm.
What's better than that?
Absolutely nothing, and we'll continue to break it down in even more detail tomorrow on the show. But we do have something of actual, tangible relevance to hockey to talk about in the broadsheet. which is your daily Thatcher Demko update, this time per Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravalli, who tweeted earlier today, sources say Canucks goalie Thatcher Demko is out through at least game four of this round two series versus the Oilers. Demko has been skating and progressing. Big week ahead. Earliest possible return is game five. That is probably pushing it. But game six and seven get interesting if necessary. So not dramatically different than what we were hearing yesterday from Elliot Friedman, yesterday from Rick Dhaliwal, but I think a little bit more specificity from Frank Saravalli, right? Really laying it out. Definitely not the first four games. Game five, kind of iffy. Game six and seven, not a guarantee, but at least possible. And again, this is going to be something that we are monitoring and updating throughout the course of this series. I do think the kind of the things the Canucks have to weigh on when to bring Demko back as the series goes and what's the state of the series and all that is going to be really fascinating. It's obviously, on one hand, you say, look, as soon as he's good to go, you put him in. But as you know, there's like gradations of good to go. You know what I mean? You can be good to play in a game, but that doesn't mean it's you're at full health necessarily, right? You know what I mean? That doesn't mean you're completely past any re-injury risk to the injury he has. So if it gets to a point where he's a legitimate option because they're playing in game six or seven of this series, that decision is just going to be fascinating to monitor. And all the things, all the circumstances they have to weigh that go into making it.
Yeah. I hope he's able to return. It sucks for a competitor like Thatcher Demko to be on the sidelines while this team is playing games of this magnitude, games that are resonating this much beyond the culture. And yet, in the culture, excuse me. But the, you know, fact remains is that he returned and played, what, three games and sustained another injury in the same part of the body, albeit a different injury. To me, I think you have to approach something like that with extreme risk. You really have to be cautious or conservative in managing the return. And, you know, I hope the Canucks are. Like, I hope we see him return to practice and go through the usual week-ish, multiple practices sort of return to play protocol that the Canucks have typically used with their goaltenders. I hope there's nothing expedited because of the stakes, because I don't think you can afford to.
No, and especially, you know,
it doesn't help you to get Demko back for two or three games.
Well, it's easy to say, like, hey, if they're down 3-2 and, you know, and he's available for game six, put him in to try to save the season. But that's like throwing a Hail Mary with no guarantee that you're going to advance to the next round and putting his health at risk. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To me, it's not clear, actually, that if you're down 3-2, that's the time to bring him in. As you say, it would be a great story and just really cool for him to be able to return in this series. And if we're talking about, you know, moments and the spectacle of this, like, imagine Thatcher Demko leading the Canucks onto the ice in game seven at Rogers Arena in his return. That's a phenomenal potential moment. But I also think, I mean, because the other thing is, if you're deep into this series, if you're in game six and game seven, well, that means you've gotten some pretty decent goaltending at some point, right? It doesn't mean you're hanging on for dear life, probably, with Artur Shelov or Casey DeSmith in net. So, again, it's not as simple as rush Thatcher Demko back and get him in because that gives us the best chance to win. Like, kind of by definition, if you're deep in the series, Artur Shelov is probably doing something right for you.
Well, and you have to think of it, too, from the I don't think you bring Demko back to live another day. You bring Demko back because you think he can play, you know, the 13 or 14 starts you're going to need now. You know what I mean? If you get to game four or five of the series, the 14, 17 starts you're going to need to actually, you know, achieve eternal glory. Like, that's what you got to have your eyes on the prize. So it's not about the game six. It's not about the game seven. It's about game one, game two, game three, game four of the next round and beyond, right? Like, you have to keep that in mind as well. So I'm not even looking at it from like the, anyway, look, I hope he gets
in.
And
then there's
be great.
The other tension here is,
I hope he gets in and I hope he stays healthy.
I agree. The other tension here, and this is something that is harder for us to judge, is like, great players always want to get back as soon as they can. Of course they do. They're competitors and the team, there's always a tension between, okay, we want you back too, but we have to be mindful of the risk, the long-term risk, what makes the most sense for the future of the franchise. And it's going to be a balancing act. And again, we'll continue to watch this story and pass along the updates, the latest from Frank Saravalli that earliest possible return is game five for Thatcher Demko. That's probably pushing it. Game six and seven get interesting if necessary. That's from the Daily Faceoffs. Frank Saravelli. Lineup notes. Update from Canucks practice today. As mentioned, Elias Pettersson not there. He's under the weather per the team. No other changes. So it was Nils Åman going in his regular spot between Ilya Mikheyev and Nils Höglander. All the other forward lines were the same. All the other defensive pairings were the same for the Canucks. So no changes, no surprise there. And the fact that Åman is just kind of in that pure placeholder role at the top of the lineup where Elias Pettersson usually is certainly suggests to me that Pettersson will be good to go for game one tomorrow. Although we'll hear more from Rick Tocchet at some point today on Elias Pettersson. For the Oilers, Adam Henrique, day-to-day per Chris Knobloch, but I believe it was our colleague Mark Spector saying seems like he's unlikely to play in game one. Now, Henrique, of course, has been playing on the top line with Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman. Sounds like it would be Connor Brown who comes in place of Adam Henrique. So, you know, not necessarily the sexiest name in Edmonton's lineup, but an interesting juggle that Edmonton could have to make for game one of this series.
Yeah, Henrique's he's fine. Whatever. Honestly, like I don't think there's a huge drop off from Henrique in that spot to using.
I think it's Janmark who's going to go up. It sounds like it.
Yeah, but they'll rotate. Like yeah. We'll see some Fogle up there. Which you know, one thing about Fogle is he's one of like seven guys in the league who can keep up with Connor McDavid legitimately, right? So there's a speed angle they can go with. You've got Janmark who's more of a finisher. So, and then I think much like the Canucks uniting the lotto line, we're going to see some...
Some McDavid Draisaitl?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's not convenient. It's not obviously what you'd ideally want if you're the Oilers, obviously, to have an injury early in the series. But I wouldn't read too much into it. I think they're going to be pretty much fine.
Well, he's kind of interchangeable with a lot of like the Warren Fogle, Matthias Janmark class, right, that they can bring in.
He's kind of their Amadio. You know, he's like he can keep up.
High praise. I love Michael Amadio.
He is good.
Big Michael Amadio guy.
But you know, he's just my stand-in for like guy who's good, but you know, isn't driving.
Yeah, sure.
He just doesn't take anything off the table, so it's useful to have put him with good players, and it's good.
The only thing that does is, you know, just force you to bring in some guys that weren't in your lineup, right? And now, is Connor Brown going to play a huge role? No, probably not. But there you go. Adam Henrique, your big lineup notes for the day. Well, Adam Henrique, day to day.
And then Pettersson and then Demko.
Yeah.
So an interesting sort of marginal updates across the board, including two really key Canucks players and one depth player for the Oilers.
Okay. That's the lineup notes for today.
We should have mentioned in headlines that former Canucks coach Travis Green
officially hired by the Ottawa Senators. And interesting to hear Elliot Friedman's commentary on the Jeff Merrick show that... You know, he calls Travis Green, he says he can be a prick sometimes. Those are Friedman's words, not mine. But that's very much what the Ottawa Senators are looking for. And, you know, I've seen a lot of the reaction from Sens fans, basically like, you know, looking at his winning percentage and they don't like it. I think it's fair to point out that
the team was awful.
Well, that, but a lot of fans in here had the same reaction to Rick Tocchet, right? Hey, look at his career winning 100%. Percentage. And you have to go deeper than that. You have to look at the circumstances. But I will also say... You look at Quinn Hughes' development, you look at Elias Pettersson's development under Travis Green, you can understand why somebody with that track record would be interesting. Look, I'm not going to say Travis Green is going to go in there and turn Ottawa into a perennial playoff contender. That's a tough job. That's a tough situation to go into. But I do think it's very similar to Rick Tocchet, where if you dig a little deeper into the circumstances that built that record and some of the things he did within that context, I don't think it's out of bounds or, you know, off the board wacky for Ottawa to go that direction.
No. And also I'd add this. I don't think it's a bad situation. Like, this is way better than coming in and taking over New Jersey the way he did. There's a lot of talent there. They need to solve their defense core.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I guess Green's got some experience with. But yeah, no, look, I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that this could work out pretty well for the Senators. I think Green is a good enough coach to warrant a second opportunity like this. And it is funny, you know, everyone citing the record in Ottawa and then being like, man, they should have gone out and paid Berube or paid Evason. And it's like, if you're taking a shot at a guy for their record, shouldn't you also bring up that he beat the coaches you're pining for in the playoffs? Am I nuts?
Yeah, and I mean, Berube, like, he has the cup. So I understand.
Berube is a great coach.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I completely understand.
Totally.
Dean Evason, I don't think he's a bad coach, but it's not like, oh, this overwhelming resume of success.
No, those guys are going to land jobs. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not disparaging them. I'm just saying it's the public evaluation of coaches, I think, struggles massively to grapple with context. And that's why we were defending Tockett despite the win-loss record when he was the hire, you know, and got booed on his introduction.
Yeah, and again, it's not to say that, like, therefore it will be a slam dunk for Travis Green in Ottawa, just like
means.
It will. But it's just that all, like, I think it's very worth, you have to dig into how that win-loss record came to be rather than just judging the coach on the bare facts of it. And the only reason I say it's a tough situation is just because the years of futility in Ottawa.
Yeah,
and I think that
built up frustration.
That's tough to turn around. Not there. Saying you can't do it, but even with the talent there, that's a tough situation to come into and try to turn around. All right, no update to the playoff forecast, obviously. We've gone over it, guys. We don't have to get into it again. We understand the Canucks are the underdog in this series. That's okay. By the way, like, shouldn't we be above caring about what? Isn't the whole thing like, oh, we don't care what the Eastern media thinks? Why do we need their validation in Vancouver? Come on.
What Eastern media? Like, Dom?
You know what I mean. The Eastern media.
I don't know. The Eastern media seem to be, like, pretty excited about the Canucks. No?
Not a lot of picking them, though.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
And again, I'm not complaining. I'm saying, like, who cares?
Am I Eastern media now?
No, absolutely not.
No, because you're based here.
But I work on 32
thoughts. You're affiliated with Eastern media.
Oh, you mean Dom Lecision?
Yeah, Dom Lecision.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Dom with the model. You're a model Dom. He's got a model, and his name is Dom. Anyway, okay, so gambling odds?
Yeah.
I'm going to read you some Canucks long shot bets for Conn Smythe, and tell me what seems wrong to you.
All right.
You ready? Because I think there's something, like, genuinely wrong. I'm not sure there's value there, but I just think there's genuinely does not compute. So, the Canuck with the shortest odds to win the Conn Smythe is Quinn Hughes, plus 4,000.
Sure.
So 400 to 1. Second is a tie between JT Miller and Elias Pettersson at plus 5,000. That's 500 to 1. Brock Besser, plus 8,800 to 1.
So you're saying he should be above Elias Pettersson?
Maybe JT Miller, too. Maybe Quinn Hughes.
No.
Scored four goals.
Yeah, you know, no, he had a great first-round series, but there's also three series to go. Right? And so, like, I think it makes total sense. The Pettersson one, just because it was so poor, but it's not like Quinn Hughes and JT Miller had disastrous first-round series. Like, JT Miller was really good. He put up points. Quinn Hughes didn't rack up the points like he can, but I think it makes total sense to bet on the best players on the team when you still have three potential rounds to go, right? Like, don't get me wrong, Besser, four goals, had an awesome series, but I get why the books would be looking at it and saying, if they go on to win the Stanley Cup, it's going to be more about these other guys. That makes sense. I think that's fair.
Player points in the series. Connor McDavid's line is set at 10.5.
Yeah. Dude scores a lot of points.
JT Miller's is set at 6.5, and you get plus money to bet the over.
All right. That's interesting.
Yep. Wild, right?
Yep.
And then I actually like this one, and I actually think there's some value there. Minus 115, so a pick 'em. More goals in the series between JT Miller and Brock Besser. And I like Miller. Miller had 18 shots on goal and one goal. You know, like, at some point, if he's moving downhill the way he is, he's gonna find more goals. Like, he's going to score more than one goal, I'd imagine, over the course of this series.
I would think so.
And probably, like, given his shot rate, he had 40 attempts in that first round series. Now, a lot of them got blocked, but man, like, if he's shooting that regularly, he's going to get goals given his skill level and finishing ability. I like JT Miller, minus 115.
Interesting. I like it. All right. That's the whiteboard for today. We got a lot more coming up on the show. Sean Gentile, our pal from The Athletic, joins us next. We'll talk Canucks, Oilers, and the other second round series in the NHL as well. That's next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.